This is research we've been working on in term that's cooperative research with the Center for Advanced Turf Technology out of Toro. That's our research and development arm, and with the University of Georgia. In this whole area, it's really spatial mapping, and it's a spinoff of precision agriculture. I think Larry Stoll has used the word precision turfgrass management, and I think it's a good one, so that's kind of the one we're sticking with. But precision turfgrass management has the same principles as precision agriculture, which really means going in and obtaining detailed site assessment of a site in order to get detailed information on that site so that you can actually make site-specific management decisions. So if you're talking like on a fairway or something, golf course fairway, you're talking about areas sub-fairway level, smaller areas or a smaller area on a green or something. And the idea is to really to obtain much more precise and efficient application of inputs. We talk about putting inputs on where they're needed, only when they're needed, and at the rate they're needed. But in order to really do that on a site-specific, more site-specific than what we are right now, you have to have detailed information. So we've been working in an overall program for several years on working with Toro and developing not only the equipment, but also looking at various field applications for this sort of information. The one we're going to talk about today is on the salinity mapping, but they're doing a lot also in the area of water conservation efficiency and a new water audit approach, too. But we'll talk about the salinity one today. And the area of salinity is very spatially diverse, not only across the landscape, particularly when when a lot of the salinity is going on because of saline irrigation water. So in that case, you can have a lot of diversity, spatial variability across the surface, also spatially within the soil, and then temporally over time. So one of the things is how can we define spatial patterns because of that great diversity right now, say it like on a golf course fairway or a place that you may go out there and take random samples around an area, get an average salinity over the area, and that's what you're leaching for the salinity is based on. And unless there's an obvious hot spot or that, we're essentially applying water to try to control salinity on an average. And so if we can get down to more site-specific information to allow site-specific leaching only in the area where it's needed. And the other thing is that spatially maps of salinity should be able to help us in terms of where we can make a science-based placement of salinity soils, soil salinity sensors. Where can we place those so that we can see where accumulation is first starting, and then also when we're actually doing leaching, we can see whether it's an effective leaching fraction and adjust our leaching according to that. Another aspect is if we can do spatial mapping of salinity, we can determine on a site, if we do mapping more than one time, how spatially consistent salinity patterns are, particularly where irrigation is the primary source of the salinity. Components of the precision turfgrass management, then, in order to achieve that, you have to have, one of the keys is to be able to have sensors that can measure not only above ground, but soil parameters, plant and soil parameters. Okay, and certainly we're interested in soil salinity, that's a soil parameter. And to have a mobile salinity sensor platform, and this is true for any of the other mapping devices, we need to have mobile platforms simply so we can make a lot of measurements in a short period of time. Because the spacing and the grid spacing is very close. And it's just not economical to go out there and take soil samples at all this. And that brings in then, in order to do that, you have to have the data GPS, and also that allows us to use geographic information systems to do the analysis and the spatial maps, and it's a whole different set of statistics. Okay, the way I'm going to talk, this is a device we talked about last year. This is the first salinity mapping device. And this was funded by Toro. We built it at the University of Georgia. This is the one that's the most widely tested and Actually, it's there's an article in Agronomy Journal that should be online in Agronomy Journal this week sometime later in the week. The link's funky right now, but it's accepted. So this has got the information. The reason I'm showing this is because in the Toro device, which we'll see in a few minutes here, in a minute or two, we were evaluating that device as it was being developed. And so we had a first version, and we had to see whether that version worked. And then from our first, and the way we were doing this was, this device had, we had a traditional way of assessing whether this device was a good device, and then we compared the Toro device to it, okay? Because it was in a in the process actually over going through three different versions. So this particular device was based on a four Wernher array, which is electrical resistivity device. Even though it can measure at three soil depths, we're primarily interested just in the surface 4 inches. Had a spacing such as that and a mapping rate about 1.5 miles an hour. And this is the mobile one, the Toro one, that we're going to talk about today. And it's a measures also. This ECA is a measure. It's apparent soil electrical conductivity. Any device you use to measure soil salinity measures an apparent electrical conductivity, which depends on the type of device and its configuration. That has to be then compared by soil test. Or by selected soil sampling versus laboratory saturated paste extracts in order to actually get it back to, so that you actually know, have an idea what the actual salinity is, okay? So that's that apparent one, and this is true for any device. The measure is apparent, and then you have to correlate it back to the, with some laboratory samples. Okay, Okay, the Toro device is a more robust system than what our initial one, and it was developed actually for volumetric water content, and then the salinity, which I'll get back to in a minute, surface hardness, and the turf performance. It has multiple different sensors on there, and then it also can, just by the GIS system, come up with a reasonably good topography information. That you can use, and it's all GPS and GIS. And the advantage of that is faster than the first device we developed. It's faster, and then it's got some other information that you can be able to, particularly the soil moisture information, that you can start looking at relationships between some of these key parameters. We're taking, it's about an 8 by 8 foot grid, and around 700 samples per acre, so you're getting a pretty high density in terms of that. The procedure then, in order to evaluate the prototype, and I call it prototype because I said again that they kept making improvements on it. We did that by comparing it to the four Wernher array device, and that four Wernher array device went through a traditional way. It's in that paper, traditional way of evaluating it, and we used that, tested it on three soils in replicated treatments, we did spatial mapping over time in another situation, and we took the soil samples in order to make the correlations. Then, based on that, when we had really good confidence that was working, then what we did is, at the stages we're reporting today, we compared the Toro device to it in terms of, would it develop similar maps? We didn't go in and do the soil sampling on it. We compared the maps. And was the acceptable mapping grid or range appropriate? I'll explain that factor later on. That's an important aspect when you're doing field mapping. Is your grid mapping, is it appropriate? Is it actually going to be able, are you actually in the areas where your measurements are related to the next measurement and the next measurement? Or is your spacing too far apart? You can still develop maps, but they just don't mean a whole lot. So you have to have good You have to have the right spacing for those. Okay, just briefly on the for the first device, just to show you that the type of results. These were three different measurements, and these two on this side, the May 4th, 2009, and 22nd of March 2010. These are ones we're going to see again in a minute with the comparative maps with the toral salinity device. But we mapped these the first time. We mapped them the salinity. This is the apparent ECA. Actually, it's about three times that, roughly, the laboratory results, roughly three times that for a saturated paste extract to get you the, what the actual salinity is. So it was reasonably hot at this date here. That arrow really does go out, doesn't it? There it goes. It was reasonably, then it was quite high in salinity, and the next time it was lower. So we were going to compare the Toro device to these last two. And this is the sorts of things where you'd go in with the mobile device, the first device, the one based on the four-Werner array. Here's the apparent, you see, and here's the laboratory soil samples, and these were combined for both of those dates, because the one date was very high salinity and the other date was lower salinity. And if you put the two curves together, they both had the same slope. And so you put the two curves together, and this would be the correlation that you would get. And there would be how you calculate what the value would be. So for example, of an ECA 5, the actual saturated paste extract was about not quite 15. Okay, so that's... Okay, based on that now, let's do the comparison. So this is the one on the left-hand side here is the four-Werner array device. This is the toral mobile device, the first version. And this was on a date when we had quite high salinity levels. And we see that there's, now these are standard deviation maps, okay? And you can see that the apparent electrical conductivity differs with the two devices, and this is typical of how it is. And if you make changes like they did in this device, you're going to have some differences there. What do I got? 2 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. And but we're starting to see the hot spots. So a standard deviation map means you can really pick out the really high spots and the low spots really easily. And you're starting to, you know, we're seeing patterns there that are similar. Here's the next one we did on a lower salinity, and we're seeing also these sorts of similar patterns where we can pick out the hot spots, the high areas. And another way of looking at this then too is, was in terms of what they call these semivariogram maps, which tells you is the mapping distance. This is the distance between what you might take samples, and this is the variance here. And what you want to do is be below, this is called range, anything below where that starts dropping down. And so you want to be below that, and really you want to be down in here someplace. And so for our device, when we compare, our range was 72 feet, and we were back on a mapping grid of around 8 feet ourselves, and so we were in actually our mapping space is about 5 feet, so we were very good. They also had with the Toro device, again we would get a reasonable semivariogram, and they're mapping down in this range, so their grid was well within what would be adequate for a sampling grid, so that we show space. This means there's spatial relationships between these data, and if you're not in this range, you can't develop the GIS maps, or they don't make any sense if you're up in this range trying your sampling space. So the bottom line on that is that we essentially could, it does look like it's quite accurate. It's giving good results. They're actually in the third version. They've just finished the third version, and they're doing spatial mapping up in the Carolina region, I think, right now on that. And their device, again, is going to be much faster. And so it looks like I think we're going to be able to have salinity spatial mapping can be something that actually can be done in the future. Here's how you might use that. Here's mapping on a couple. This happens to be raw data, and this is the standard deviation. And for this particular course, these were single-head irrigation controls. So what you can do is you take each head and you can put it into a particular salinity zone. In this case, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 different colors. There's 4 different salinity zones there. And each one of those would have a different leaching fraction. The red ones would be the ones that have the highest leaching fraction. The grayest ones would have the lowest. So this is a way you can start bringing this practically into to leaching more site-specifically with the least amount of water. Okay. Is that it? Got time for questions? Is that it?
Maybe we better hold the questions. Okay. Thank you very much, Bob.